Soul Sister Radio.
Whoever believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. This wasn't lip service. Jesus was talking to you. Every Soul Sister Friday at 10 a.m., learn how to claim your God-given dominion to follow the Master's example and restore health, demonstrate supply, harmonize relationships, and have victory over sin with Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson, spiritual solutions to life's challenges.
Welcome to 4 International Soul Sister Radio. I am your producer, Maria DiGiovanni, welcoming you to the Soul Sister Experience. First, a special thank you to our station sponsor, ImageMakeoverProgram.com, who make it possible to record live and broadcast worldwide. We invite you to get ready to enjoy the show. Take it away, my soul sister.
Good morning, everyone. It's Patricia Winskunis with Coffee Talk with Patricia. I hope you are all having a blessed and fabulous day today. I'm looking forward to this next hour and talking to you about many things, including life, career, community, love, faith, self, inspiration, talking about leadership, and how about today we talk about the power of being real. And what does that really truly mean in your life, in your living, and in your career? So let's start today's show with a morning offering. My Jesus, my Lord, my God, my all, thank you for bringing me to the beginning of a new day. Grant me your help and blessings so that I may use it well. I entrust and offer to you all of my thoughts, words, and actions. May they be a prayer of praise to your divine goodness. Grant that all the joys as well as sorrows which I experience today bring me closer to you. In union with your sacrifice on the cross, I ask that all these things be a source of grace to all with whom I will be in contact today. Protect me from all sin and danger, and may I be kept close to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, now and forever. Amen. And that morning offering can bring many things to you in your day, and sometimes it can be also very challenging because we all do sin. We all try not to, and we would all hope that we wouldn't. We do ask for forgiveness, and I do believe that we are given it. And I do also, as you know, many of you do think that forgiveness and forgetting should never be in the same bucket. They are two separate things. And it's also a personal choice on whether you forgive. We will never forget. Most of us all know that in our lives. So, and again, I want to thank our sponsors for allowing me to come and have this radio show, and thank Maria, our producer, for her support and her guidance and her leadership, and most importantly, for her friendship. So thank you, Maria, as well. One of the things that I wanted to also talk about today is some of the things that are happening in my life. You know, it's interesting because someone said to me recently, you know, Patricia, you share too much. We all know that I'm on Facebook, and as I say, it's an addiction, although people keep telling me stop calling it an addiction. So I guess it's just part of my life. But I love going on Facebook. I actually even got a compliment yesterday at a roundtable I was doing for crime survivors. One of the agencies came up to me and asked me if I would help them with their Facebook page. And I kind of just looked at her and said, well, I'm already managing 7 Facebook pages. I'm happy to give suggestions and recommendations to help you. So I kind of took it as a compliment because she said that she really liked our pages and that we were empowering for the most part. But then another person, which is interesting how two people could think things differently. One person said she thought that I posted way too much and too much personal stuff. And I said, well, on my personal page, that's my personal page. And she said, well, you're a leader in the community and you're really looked up to. And I still kind of giggle at that because, you know, I mean, to be considered a leader, I think, is also a great compliment. But I feel like I'm only doing God's work every day and really trying to make a difference in my community, in my family, with my friendships, and especially for victims so that they can have hopeful healing and they can survive in their lives and hopefully break the cycle so they're not re-victimized throughout their life. And so that's what I feel like I'm doing each and every day. But that brings up the whole topic for someone to say to me that I shouldn't be real. I shouldn't be honest. And it's interesting because do people see us all as human and just like they are? I'm no different than someone that is famous, someone that is wealthy, or someone that is living on the side of the street and they're homeless. We are all created, to me, equally. We are all created by the same maker. We have different skin colors. We have different faith and beliefs. We have different friendships. Our families are all unique and different. We have different careers. We have different talents, different hobbies. We are all created equally and the same, yet so different. But shouldn't we still be true and real in our lives and in ourselves? And it's interesting because you hear about victims being silenced and shamed and blamed and questioned, and you have the criminals and the ones that committed the crimes getting more financial support, more guidance, more resources, and, you know, our states and our nation is continuously giving them more and more and more, yet the victims don't get that. And then you have them being silenced, and then they're re-victimized in their life. And then you have someone that, someone that was diagnosed with cancer. You wouldn't tell them to be silenced. You see it all over Facebook. You have people that choose to not share, but then you have people that do choose to share. I have several dear friends that are going through radiation and through treatment, and it's their choice. Some of them choose to tell their family and friends. I have one that hasn't told anybody, and she doesn't want to tell anybody. She wants it not to be public. So it really depends on what is being real in yourself and in your life. And for me personally, whether you're a leader or, again, you could be homeless, I think that we need to be true. And I do think there's balance and boundaries. But I also want people to know who Patricia is. And I, frankly, want to know who Patricia is. We talked about on a recent show on how I'm on this journey. And, you know, being on a journey does not make that there's something wrong with you. It doesn't mean that you have to share everything. And trust me, people, I do not share everything. I don't share the color of my underpants. I don't share the color of my bra. I don't share every personal thing in my life, and I don't plan to do that. But I do think that when I share things, and even on Facebook, I don't mention people's names or show their where they work or anything to that effect. But I think it's an educational tool. I learned that yesterday doing this roundtable, again, for crime survivors, because we come together in this roundtable to be honest, to be truthful. We started a group 10 years ago, and that was the whole meaning behind it, was to bring service providers together. And that's what this roundtable does. It brings service providers together, but to be real. Let's keep it real. Let's be honest. Let's be truthful. Let's say what is working in our communities and what's not working. But also let's talk about the stigmas. Let's talk about our personal experiences in our real lives to find out why is it that our personal selves could be damaged or bullied or silenced in our workplace. And I think that that happens a lot. I think there, again, is balance and boundaries on what you bring your personal self to your career or to your work. But when you are a public figure or you are what some call a leader, you do have to keep those balances and boundaries into place to a certain degree. But I think I lived the majority of my life in fear, in shame, in blame, thinking that I was supposed to be silenced. I wasn't supposed to tell things. You know, it could break up the family. Your friendships could leave you. You could lose your job. And that's one thing that came up in yesterday's meeting, too. And I'm going to go back and forth on personal and career and community because I think it all plays kind of a role and a part together, intermixed. But I really think that in keeping it real, that is the only way we can take the journey in our personal life to become better, to heal from past wounds, and to prosper in our present and in our future. But we have to keep it real. And some people don't like that. Some people are afraid of it. Some people think that it lessens who you are. Some people think that politics come into play. All we all know, we do not like the word politics. However, it's unfortunate because it is a reality of life, career, community, and living. And we all know that we've agreed that we're not going to talk about politics or political individuals or leaders. But politics can come into play on many, many different avenues. And it is unfortunate because, you know, recently I got an email and I was talking to someone and their response was, it's unfortunate. It is very political world and victim services is not immune to that. Sometimes we just have to jump on board in order to have a voice. And it struck me and it impacted me because I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that for our organizations. I don't want to do it for my business, and I don't want to do it for my personal life anymore. I don't think that politics has to come into everything. I think it's okay to say no sometimes. And I think if it's going to protect your life and what you do for a living, I think you should keep it real. And you should be able to say to someone no. And if you lose your funding as an organization because of it or because you lose your business and a client doesn't come back to you because you're politically correct and you're honest and you're truthful and you're real, I think that's what God wants us to be. Why should we put on a face to make it look like everything is okay and yet behind closed doors it's not? And I don't think we should ever, ever sacrifice ourselves, our family, or our friends just to gain credibility or just to gain fame or, again, a financial, you know, thing to your budget. I don't think that that's okay. And it's interesting because I'm going to read what I posted on my Facebook wall yesterday, on one of my Facebook, that's my personal one. As we all know, I do have 7 pages, and I hope that you do go in and like all of those pages. But I'm going to read this to you. It reads, I have a confession. And again, I know everyone, people say, don't be putting your confessions on Facebook. You only need to answer those to God and to keep them to yourself. And this is kind of a funny confession. It is not a sin where I need to go to the Father at my Catholic church that I go to every Sunday. That's not that kind of a confession. So I try to also put humor into many of the things that I'm writing and I'm doing because I think humor also takes away and sheds some of the tears and some of the emotion, and it also allows us to be who we are. And although I've been sharing a lot of these things on my personal Facebook page, it's interesting to see how maybe I've offended some people or some people don't understand what's going on and they are afraid to ask me. Never be afraid to ask me. There is no question that anybody should feel uncomfortable with asking me. I'm an open book. I have no secrets. I would hope other people would not be afraid to share what they're going through in their life, whether it be good, bad, or the ugly, because that means that we're keeping it real in our lives and that we shouldn't be afraid of anything. And it's interesting also, before I read this, that I got so many, in many of these postings, I get so many private messages emails, phone calls, and text messages after I post. And a lot of them are from people that have been going through challenging situations in their life, and they say, thank you. Thank you for letting me know you're also human and that you go through things. Thank you for letting me know that you're not perfect. I thought you were perfect, which I kind of think is humorous because I'm farthest from perfect that can be. I have my perfections and my imperfections because, again, God created me, and that's okay as well. But the way I see it is if I keep it real in my personal life, I keep it real in my event planning job that I have, my business, and if I keep it real in the nonprofit arenas that I work with and I represent, good, bad, or the ugly, I think that it allows other people to keep it real, to be honest, to be truthful, to go on their journey in their life, to hopefully make a difference and an impact in another's life. Because I believe that one person can start something and then it can continue to go and go and go. Kind of like the Energizer Bunny, I guess. That's funny. So anyway, I have a confession. When my workday is completed, it will be a 14-plus hour workday today. And I have had a change of heart and aha moment. Recently, I was told something by let's call him a bully, and so I had stopped taking my pay and cut my other pay in half for the last 2 months without saying anything to anyone, because I was allowing this person to make me feel as if I was not entitled to it or valued or even worthy enough for it. Only today I realized that it's the farthest from reality and the truth. I help build up others to not be mistreated, bullied, abused, or manipulated, and I cannot and will not allow it anymore for myself. I am going to honor what others voted and approved, and today I believe that I am worthy, valued, educated, and will continue to earn my pay and give back as much as I can to my church, community, family, friends, and to myself. Thank you, God, for showing me the sign, guiding and allowing me to help others and myself to believe, trust, and heal. Yes, I am human. Yes, there is a lesson and reason for everything. So I shared that, and again, I think it's quite interesting on the feedback and the comments and the remarks that I did receive, and especially from some of the friends. And that's another thing that I have learned through all of this. Who are your true friends? And when you keep it real, the ones that are not fearful, the ones that are not afraid, the ones that truly trust and believe and respect you, those are the ones that will be by your side through thick and thin. And sometimes, we talked about this on a past show, is not getting them mixed up or confused, because there are some people in our lives that are friends and some of them that are not. But that's another thing. You think about it. We always talk about keeping our friends close and our enemies closer. I have to be honest, I don't like that. I really don't. And that goes to the whole thing about keeping it real. Why do I want to be fake? I don't want to say my enemy is my friend. I don't want to pretend as if when I see someone, I hug them and I embrace them when they've been cruel or rude or bullying me. I don't want to do that. And I know people say, but you have to keep those enemies close, because if you don't keep them close, they're going to backstab you, they're two-faced, they can hurt you. And recently I was also told by someone, you know, Patricia, you need to calm down a little bit, because as a leader and as someone representing in the community, you know, if you start speaking out and someone doesn't like it, they'll do everything they can to get rid of you. They will do everything they can to take away funding or not give you opportunities or start programs just like yours. And the funny thing is that's been going on for the last 10 and a half years since I started Crime Survivors. It's been going on since I started creative coordinating back in 1996. Unfortunately, that is the way that business in the corporate arena, in the private sector, in the nonprofit arena, that's the way it works. But that does not mean that we all need to be that way. when I was in the thick of my creative coordinating business and doing very, very well, I had one exclusive client and a very large contract. And I remember I had it at a location, and we had 2,000 people, and I catered that event. And I remember 2 weeks later getting a call from my client saying the location called to book them for the next year's event, and they gave them like a 25% discount saving so that they didn't have to go through me. And I remember how upset I was, and I couldn't blame my client if they went direct because they were saving 25%. I couldn't compete with that. But I did think, I will never do that. And I never did it in my business. I never did it in the catering event planning business. I used to see how people used to gossip and talk about people and, you know, take their business away from them. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to never, ever do that to anybody. And I never have done it. And I'm very proud of that because I've kept it real. And in whether it was a penny or no matter what the cost or the money was, it didn't matter to me. I was not going to do that. I was going to keep it real in my business. And same thing with the nonprofit arena. I've had ideas and ideas and ideas, and I've had individuals and other agencies take those ideas. And that's okay because I always thought to myself, it hurt. But I always thought to myself, if they can do it, fabulous. As long as it's helping and giving back to our community, that's really what we want. That's really the ultimate goal. But when people start taking that to another level where they're starting to personally bully, manipulate, take you down to a level where you don't deserve to, I don't think that that's okay either. And I think that we should all stand up for ourselves. It's what I tell victims every day, to report to the police and to trust in our system. And sometimes they don't get justice, but we still need to walk that path and that journey. And so I would ask other people to start keeping it real in your life. And by keeping it real, it doesn't mean that you should change your way of being respectful or treating other people with dignity. I think you can keep it real, and I think you can be honest and open, no matter if it's calling someone out for the way they treated you, or sharing it on Facebook or with other people without mentioning their name. I think that you need to, because I learned for myself personally, some of these recent situations have really triggered many other things that I have went through in my life that I never acknowledged, that I never healed from. And now I am acknowledging it. I am healing from it. I am walking the path of empowerment. And I have to be very honest with you. It is very invigorating. It is very empowering and uplifting to know that not only am I helping myself, I am helping other people. And to me, that's what my life is. I laugh and I giggled and I said, you know, my ultimate goal would be to someday be an angel. And to me, when I reach to heaven, which I know I will, I would love to do that because that's what I want to do here. I don't care about money. I don't care about all the other stuff. I want to keep it real and I want to tell people this is who I am. I have imperfections. I have perfections. But my ultimate goal is to live my life to the fullest and to really love myself. You know, how often do you keep it real with yourself? How often do you tell yourself that you love yourself? Do you take time to do that? Most people, unfortunately, they can't look in the mirror at themselves. I learned that a couple years ago, and it's quite interesting. I posted this on Facebook the other day. I hope you will join me on this journey and love yourself. Respect yourself and treat yourself with dignity, kindness, and sensitivity. Explore the realness of who you truly are as a self. Feel it, know it, and believe it. 44 years, and I have never said it. I have never felt it or believed it until now. I am on a journey of discovery, healing, faith, and loving myself without shame, blame, or guilt. We all have imperfections and perfections, but it is okay to love and treat ourselves kindly. Start today. It is invigorating. I think that invigorating word has become a new word in my day-to-day routine. I'm not sure why, but I think God is sending me that word, which is a powerful, powerful message for me. And I think it is invigorating. I think when you are able to, I wish I would have discovered and been on this journey when I was 8 years old or 15 years old or even in my 20s. But now that I'm 44 and I love being 44, and it is very interesting to say that I now have a self. And to be on this journey and to talk to all these other survivors and to talk to my other friends and other people that are also on a journey, we're able to communicate, help one another. I had a woman just ask me a couple days ago if I would start meeting her and help her on her healing journey. And she's not a victim of a crime. She's never had cancer. She's never been married, so she hasn't been through divorce. She's never been bankrupt or anything, but she has a lot of stuff in her past. And I said to her, well, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist. And she said, but you're a healing warrior. And it was really interesting to me that she's seen that off of my Facebook page. So, you know, I told her, well, if I have the time and I can make the time to spend some time just to share with her. But again, you know, I'm not a professional in the healing field. I'm not a professional, you know, psychologist or psychiatrist. I'm just a person that's on a journey. I'm a woman, a mother, a grandmother, a friend, a woman of God, and I'm walking this journey myself to find out who Patricia is, and I'm on a journey to be able to accept myself for who I am, what I am, and where I'm going in my life, in my career, in my community giving. And we talked about on last week's show about keeping it real and making next year be a year about self and about family and about friendships and about keeping it real. And keeping it real is going to be a great part of that. And if you sit down, I don't know if you've listened to past shows where we've talked about journaling and we've talked about, you know, writing in there about yourself and taking that time. Take the time and look at some of your past things. Take a time to look at some of the past photos of you growing up. I'm going to start actually posting some of the photos for me as a child and as a young woman, and some of you are going to crack up laughing because the looks that I've had throughout the years, and I'm sure you have some yourself when you look through your pictures, but it's interesting because I get told now that I look younger now than I did when I was in my 20s. And, you know, I had the short hair and the glasses and all of that stuff. So, but I'm okay now with that. I never, ever thought that I would be okay with sharing pictures of myself or sharing pictures of my past, especially. But I'm going to share those pictures because those are pictures of myself. Those are pictures of me. And it's almost really sad to think that in my past, I was not okay with me. Am I truly 100% keeping it real with myself now? No, but I am on that journey. I am walking that path, and I hope that you're walking the path as well. Another recent post that I posted, I used to despise photos of myself. And now, as you can tell, I am letting others take them. I am taking them. I am sharing them as much as possible. I now am officially okay with them because someone shared with me recently that I needed to know that God created me. And if I'm insulting myself, it means I'm insulting him. And that is not okay. So we may see ourselves one way and may not have a good self-image or esteem for ourselves. But we must know that we were created for a reason, a purpose. And we were all created differently by our Maker and should be thankful for life, living, and for all that we are on the inside and the outside. Join me in being okay, accepting and embracing every part of your being. Never be insulting, always loving and smiling. Say cheese. So whenever you have an opportunity, take a picture. It lasts forever. Enjoy and smile in the pictures. I see so many people, and I did myself. I never smiled in the pictures. And now I'm enjoying it. I'm taking every opportunity to take the pictures. I'm smiling. And I want to leave those photos behind for my grandchildren and for my son and for my family. Because, you know, we don't all live forever. And those are the memories. Those are the times that we can pass on, that we can keep real and our families can keep real and they can keep it going and going. Again, it is just loving yourself, accepting yourself for who you are, for what you are, what you bring into this world. We are all different, but we all bring something to the world. Let's take a moment to say a prayer. Glory to you, O Lord our God. Your love calls us to be your people. By sharing our many and diverse gifts, we share in our mission. We ask you, Lord, to shape us into a community of faith, nourish us by your word and sacraments, that we may grow into the image of Jesus through the power of your Holy Spirit. Heal us that we in turn may heal the wounded. Form us to be instruments of love, justice, and peace in our land, and send us to proclaim your saving work. Renew us, Lord, that way we may renew the face of the earth. Amen. At this time, let's go ahead and take a commercial break, and we will be back very shortly. Thank you.
Soul Sister Radio.
Whoever believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. This wasn't lip service. Jesus was talking to you. Every Soul Sister Friday at 10 a.m., learn how to claim your God-given dominion to follow the Master's example and restore health, demonstrate supply, harmonize relationships, and have victory over sin with Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson, Spiritual Solutions to Life's Challenges.
Hi, I'm Susan Shengazar. I am the Advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support. Soul Sister Radio.
Hello, everyone. It's Coffee Talk with Patricia, and I am Patricia Winskunis, and I am back to share with you the next half an hour. And I hope you enjoyed and listened to the first half an hour of the show. And feel free to call in at any time if you have any questions, comments, feedback, if you want to share the power of being real today with me, if you want to ask any questions, feel free to call in. And then next week, I hope to be able to have a special guest on the show as well. And to join us and to kind of break up things and give people the opportunity to share what's happening with their life and their career, their community giving, love, faith, and their self. I think it's a very powerful message to be able to get out there to each and every one every day. And how do you start your morning about keeping it real? And how do you take that into your career? You know, we must do that. So, and I know I go back and forth on reading a lot of my posts. I have not done that every time, but sometimes I do have a week of, let's say, or a day, a challenging week, a challenging day, different things that's happening in my life. And, you know, it is Coffee Talk with Patricia, so I can go ahead and share things and I don't have to worry about offending or hopefully upsetting anyone. And if I do, I apologize if it's something, but it is Coffee Talk with Patricia, so I can really share about things about myself in my life and in my career and community giving and what makes my world go around. But the reason why I share that, it's not because it's all about Patricia. the reason that I ultimately do Coffee Talk with Patricia and that I agreed with Maria to do this is because I wanted to be able to share myself on my journey and in my healing and in my life, because ultimately I think there are many other people. Well, I do know because so many of them contact me. I know there's so many other individuals out there with challenges as well. And I'm hoping that if they know that I'm sharing, that that's okay for them to keep it real, that it's okay for them to speak up. It's okay for others to walk in a healing journey. It's okay for them to experience fun in their life, to giggle a little bit, to have humor, to have faith, and to find out what brings them happiness and love into their life without guilt, without shame, and to keep it real. So really, ultimately, that's why I do this show. I don't really do it for any other reason. It's not a financial reason. It's not a self reason. It's really to get the message out there. And as you know, it came to play with Coffee Talk with Patricia because I love coffee, and I drink it probably way too much. I do drink about 2 pots of coffee a day, and my coffee of choice is Living Java. And you can get it online at livingjava.com if you want to try it. It is pretty amazing coffee. And it does have chocolate beans in there, I guess. So that's pretty remarkable because, as you know, I also love, love chocolate. I recently was speaking to someone and I said I would love to get a hold of the Food Network because I would love to do a chocolate show on there. And I think it would be fabulous, I must say. And I can't imagine anybody else hosting that show that would have the expression as I have when I talk about chocolate. If you could see my face right now, it actually lights up like a Christmas tree because I love chocolate. I love the look, the taste, the feel. I love just everything about chocolate. And as you all know, I talked about in the past how I never shared that for such a long time, that I used to hide eating chocolate because I felt so shamed and blamed of eating it. I felt guilty, I felt fat, I felt all those things. And unfortunately, I don't feel that anymore. I feel like it is okay to be real. It is okay to tell people that I love chocolate. It's okay to share that I love my coffee. It's okay to keep it real and say I'm on Facebook and I'm sharing a lot of stuff. Because that's who I am. I am keeping it real in not only my... Go ahead.
I have to interrupt you because as you're talking about the chocolate, I'm looking at the chocolate up on my desk, and it's Dove chocolate. And you know what I love about chocolate, and I love listening to you talk about chocolate, and I know what your face looks like when you light up with chocolate. But you know what I love about chocolate is how when you put it in your mouth and it melts, and you know you have a good piece of chocolate when it's just so smooth. I just wanted to chat.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, it is. It does make a difference. And that's why I keep telling people, if we did a show like on the Food Network, how fantastic would that be when people could really find out, like I could go around and I could tell where is the best place to get chocolate. You know, what's a good piece of chocolate, what's not a good piece of chocolate, chocolate desserts, chocolate cake. It's fantastic, I'm telling you.
But you know what's really funny? We are more excited about chocolate than we are about the men out there that are single.
And that, I keep telling you, God is working on them. He is not done perfecting them yet. So be patient, my friend. Be patient. He will come when it is the right time. And we must understand also that he's going to have to love chocolate or we're going to have a serious problem.
Exactly. Take it back. I'm going mute.
Thanks. All right. So that's pretty funny. And I'm not the only one that actually loves chocolate and gets a little bit giddy over it. But it is part of the journey. Like I said, I never shared that before. So take time in your life to be silly. Talk about these little silly things. It's keeping it real. And talk about some of the things that you love and enjoy. Share a recipe with some of your friends or family members. What is it that you like? Do you know what food you like? Do you know what desserts are your favorites? What drink and beverages do you like? Do you take the time to even think about it? Or are you so busy at work and in your career that those are things that you think are silly about talking about or childish? I was told one time by someone also that I posted too many pictures of me eating chocolate desserts on my Facebook page, and they thought that that was really kind of childish. And, you know, it's God bless and God love all the people that want to be honest with me. I thank you for your honesty. But sometimes it can come across also insulting, and as if when I was younger, it takes me back for some reason, and it triggers things because I'm thinking, well, is it childlike to be talking about my love for chocolate or coffee? I don't think so. I am a child at heart. I am a woman, but I'm a grown adult. I'm mature, and I'm responsible, and I'm respectful. But those are things that we need to keep it real about. We need to keep it real and look in our lives. What do we like? Do we like to go to the park? Do we even take time to go to the park? Or do we think, oh, I did that when I was a child. I'm not going to do that as an adult. Well, whether you have children or not, you should take time for those things. You should take time to enjoy the food. Don't just devour it and not taste or enjoy it. Taste it, enjoy it, find what you like, and share it with other people so maybe they can enjoy it and like it. That's what keeping it real is all about, finding out what you enjoy. And do you have a hobby? Are there books that you enjoy to read? Taking baths. I've talked about many times before how I love to take my baths. I feel it's bath therapy, and I think it's very healing for myself personally. It's the time, probably the only time that I can detach from everything is when I'm in the bath. And, you know, I get those phone calls, and I don't take my phone into the bath with me. I used to, but not anymore. I shut it off. I don't answer it. I don't let it bother me. And I keep it real, and I just have that time away. Same thing within church. When I'm in church, I do not take my phone in with me. And sometimes my son will say, "You didn't answer the phone." I said, "I was in church." He said, "Well, what if it was an emergency?" I said, "Well, back in the day when I was a kid, we didn't have cell phones. And if it was an emergency, I'm only in church for an hour. I'm only in the tub for an hour. Eventually, I would get out, and I would be able to take care of the emergency." But there are other people that do get very upset. We talked about that, about keeping it real on cell phones and technology. Because should we feel guilty also about not answering the phone when we're with family or with friends or in a meeting? Everyone seems to think that you have to get back to everyone right away. And if you don't respond, people do get upset. Well, I'm keeping it real. I'm not going to answer the phone when I'm in the tub. Not going to answer the phone when I'm in a meeting. Not going to answer the phone when I'm in church. So that's my realness for the day for me in technology. So the other thing is being fair. How do you be fair in society and keep it real also? How do you be fair to yourself and without guilt, shame, or blame? And I bring that up quite a bit with the guilt, shame, and blame anymore because I think it crosses all boundaries in our careers, in our work, even in our community giving, and especially in ourselves. Because, again, we don't take time to be childlike. We don't take time to be giddy. We don't take time to find our hobby or be fair to ourselves. I think we need to be fair. And within keeping it fair, it's also keeping it real. And I think that those two really, really go hand in hand together. And I hope that you would all do that. I hope that you would also take the time to find out, do you like your job and career? Is it your career? Is it what makes you happy and real in your life? Are you giving back to the community, whether it be to someone like Crime Survivors, whether it be something like Orange County Crime Stoppers, whether it be an animal shelter, children's hospital? It could be donating books to the community. Whatever it is, take time to do something for your community. Take time for love in your relationships, in your intimate relationships, in your family, in your friendships. Again, I told you last week's show that I'm really making an effort and a time for my friendships. Taking time for faith. As you all know, I'm Catholic. I stand behind that 100%. Catholic is my faith and my belief. But whatever you are, whether you're Christian, if you're Jewish, I'm hoping that you do have a belief of some sort. If you're listening to this, I'm assuming that you do because everybody that knows me knows how important my faith is. So take time to reflect. Take time to believe in that. And, you know, I think it's such a powerful, powerful tool and message when you take time to reflect and when you take time to pray. You're keeping it real, and God knows that, and He respects that. He values and appreciates that. A simple candle ritual that I do now, it's you recite the following as you light a candle. May I be like this candle, a gentle and unwavering light in the world, radiating warmth and illuminating truth. And so it is. I think it's extremely powerful. I highly recommend you getting either reciting that, getting a candle. And it could be faith-based. It could be your love. It could be yourself. It could be whatever. Meditation is a great thing to keep it real in your life. I don't know if you've ever done meditation, but it can be also very empowering, very invigorating. There's that word again. And so I really suggest candles. I love candles, and I think that I have candles in my career and in my faith and in my love and mainly for as well for myself, because it really gives me a time to reflect on that light, that journey of the light that God brings us each and every day, the journey of the light of endless possibilities in my career and in my life and in living each and every day. If you just take time to even sit back, and again, some people can think this is silly and they can say, hey, it's a candle. But if you really just take the time to look at the flame burning, and what does that flame represent to you? It represents something different to each and every one of us. And on some days, it means something completely different to me than it did the day before. So if you just take 1 minute to light a candle in the morning, say a morning prayer or a reflection or something that you can reflect on your journey moving forward when you light that candle. And sometimes you can ask for forgiveness. Sometimes you can forgive someone else when you're lighting your candle. And sometimes you can just say thank you to God for your life, for your next breath, for being able to hear, to be able to speak, to be able to walk and talk. I recently talked to a victim, and she didn't know, you know, her worth and her value, and she was having a hard time. And I told her, you know, if you can't focus on anything else today, focus on five things. Focus on your life, that you're alive. Focus on your next breath, that you're able to hear, you're able to speak, and you're able to walk. If that's all you have to keep it real today, those are five things that are true blessings in your life. And tomorrow, you'll have a new thing. So keep it real in your life. Find out what's fair for yourself, and don't be afraid. Don't let anybody tell you that you should not speak up. I am on a new thing, and I haven't figured out how to say it in a nice way yet. I'm still working on it because I want to treat everybody with dignity and respect. So I'm trying to figure out how one of my future posts will read to the effect in a nice, respectful manner that if I upset you by my post, if you think it's offensive in any way, if you think I share too much information, if you think I'm childlike, then please feel free to remove my page. Or don't like my page, don't follow it, don't read my post. So I want to say it in a nice, respectful way, and I haven't figured it out yet, but I do want to let people know that if you don't agree with what I am on in my journey in my life, you don't have to listen, and you don't have to follow me, and you don't have to agree with me. That's totally okay. Again, my dear friend told me, and I totally believe him now, I don't need validation from anyone else, and I also want to learn how to say this in a respectful way as well, because sometimes it doesn't come across correct, or maybe it's how I'm saying it, but I don't need validation from anyone, not from family, not from friends. I want respect and I want love from my family and friends and community leaders and people that I work with each and every day, but I don't need their validation because I already have it from God. And He's my maker, And I hope that you all believe that too, because some of us have lived a lifetime trying to be validated, accepted, and doing anything to get that validation acceptance from everyone else. And I'm keeping it real. I'm still having a hard time with that. I'm still going back and gravitating for some reason to the ones that are rude or disrespectful or don't have my back. I still gravitate towards them for some reason, and I think it has a lot to do with my past and some things that I'm healing from still, and I'm walking this journey. But I'm surely keeping it real and being honest. And we also talked about on another show about sometimes we have friends that we think are our friends, but they're not going to have our back. And that's where the politics come into play, unfortunately. And I've learned that lesson. You know, I've had some individuals' backs and they haven't had mine. And that's okay because I continue to pray for them. I hope the best for them. But I, again, through my journey, I'm learning who's real, who's keeping it real. And I want those people in my corner. And it could end up only being one person, and that's okay. Because, again, for me, I have the Lord in my corner. And, you know, as I sit here and I'm taking a drink of my coffee and I'm thinking about the fact of, you know, I was talking to someone recently and they were telling me about one of the coffee places on how they keep their coffee. And I think they have to change it every hour, so all of that coffee is kind of wasted and just thrown out. And I get the freshness of it, but I was thinking of my Nani, and she came to me, and it's interesting because I remember growing up, she would make a pot of coffee, and she would have that coffee on the stove in a pot. And it would be interesting because that coffee sometimes would sit there for 2 days, and she would still warm that coffee up on the stove, and she would drink that coffee. And she lived to be, you know, she lived a very long, productive life. I don't remember the age that she passed on, but I have to find that out. But she was an amazing woman. And I did realize recently, I was trying to figure out on some of my journey and healing and stuff, where did I get some of my behaviors from when it comes to coffee and sweets? And I have to say a lot of it came from her, because do you know that she used to hide candy bars in the back of the silverware drawer? And she would actually, the difference between her and I, though, she would take a half of the candy bar, she would sneak back into the closet, shut the door, and she would eat the candy bar and come out as if nothing or ever happened or she didn't eat it. And we all knew she was eating the candy bar behind there, but she didn't want anybody to know. So I think that I got a lot of that from her. The only difference between her and I is she could get away with only eating half of it. I have to eat the entire candy bar. So, you know, which is kind of humorous and kind of funny, but, you know, when you look back on those past memories, it's keeping it real. Same things with the holidays. It's interesting because, you know, I get really giddy. Everybody that knows me knows that I get giddy around the holidays. I love, love Christmas. It is my favorite time of the year. I have actually already started singing Christmas carols. So if you see me and you know, wondering why I'm singing Christmas carols, again, some people, they think that they can't believe, they're like, oh my God, you're so childish, that's so ridiculous that you're posting things about Christmas already. Well, that's me keeping it real. I love Christmas. I asked a question recently on why is it if you have Mrs. Claus? I always said I want to be Miss Claus. And until recently, which is kind of humorous, someone said to me recently, well, Patricia, are you stealing Santa Claus? Are you stealing Mrs. Claus's husband? And I thought it was kind of humorous because I said, no, 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 I don't ever go that route. I never have and never will. So why can't we have a Miss Claus without Santa Claus? Because really, it's what it represents. To me, it is the whole idea of what is Christmas about? Baby Jesus. Let's not forget that. That is the main goal and objective. Let's keep that real. But everything else with the whole community and the laughter and the childlike behavior and you see the lights and you're able to give gifts to everybody. I don't even like getting gifts. I like giving gifts. That's to me such joy and such realness, because that's the one time that you can give that and you can see people smile and really light up like a Christmas tree. And who does not enjoy that and like that? And again, whatever your faith is, you may have a different belief and you may celebrate something differently. I know other faiths and yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. You do have a caller online. Richard, go ahead.
Hey, Patricia. This is Richard. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I have a question. You're talking about keeping it real. And have you? What do you do about keeping people in your life that will help you achieve that goal? And have you found that you've changed your friends over the years because of it?
I have. I have definitely, and I'm on this journey now just in the last, say, I've been on a journey for a long time, but really in the last 6 months I've been on a journey of healing myself and keeping it real and finding out really what true friendships are, who they are, and valued and respected. And sometimes we think that we have friends that are really not true or really not keeping it real. And
yeah,
sometimes sometimes it's very hard to find out. People will show you who they are, and I think that goes back in time. Believe them. When they show you who they their trueness is, not to your face but behind your back. And I also tell people, you know, not everybody will follow this, but I'm a real big believer in telling people, if you have a problem with me, good, bad, or the ugly, it may upset me, but please tell me to my face and not behind my back. But we also can't control. I'm sure you know this, Richard. We cannot control other people. We can only control ourselves. But we have to trust in ourselves, and we have to be okay with saying we may have a friend today, and tomorrow they may not be our friend. That doesn't mean that they were not a good friend at that time or that we didn't need them or they didn't need us. But things do change in life. I have some friends that I'm dear friends with since I was still when I was in kindergarten that I still keep in communication with. And there are some friends that are no longer my friends in my life for whatever reason. And for the first time, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I agree with what you were saying. I tell some of my other friends that over the years that you go through a period of your life where you get to find out who your true friends are and who are not. And I always use the analogy about having either an anchor or a buoy. You know, a buoy lifts you up and an anchor drags you down. And the ones that drag you down are the ones you need to check out of your life, and the ones that are buoys lift you up in life are the good ones to keep.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. That's a very good way to look at it. I like that.
I'm going to have to cut you off. Thank you, Richard. You just have 2 minutes left, and we need to go ahead and play that song, too. But, Richard, thank you. Go ahead again, Patricia.
All right. You're welcome. Bye.
Feel free to call back next week, Richard, and we can talk about that even more. And next week's show, we're going to talk about fairness or favoritism. I think that is also a great topic to talk about. So we're going to go ahead and end today's show. And we're going to go ahead and play a great song. And I hope you enjoy your weekend and the rest of this week. And again, if you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in on a future show. And also, please take time to keep it real. The power of being real on your journey can be invigorating. God bless you all.
Katie, let your body flow. Hey, girl, come on.
Radio. Hello, Soul Sister listeners. If you're learning and receiving from what you're being fed here on Soul Sister Radio, return the love by becoming a monthly partner of this station via sponsorship, monetary gifts, or as a Soul Sister advertiser. Thank you for your support.
Now a message from our sponsor, EducateEtiquette.com. Have you ever been at a table with a group of people and there is one person being rude on their cell phone? Have you mentioned it to that person and they still do it as if they just don't care as much for those around them in the flesh as they do for their own personal thread on Facebook? It's even worse when you're around our older generation who really have a hard time understanding how people can form relationships this way. There is wisdom in their thinking, so please don't be rude. Put it away in respect. Yourself, most of all. Thank you for joining us on Soul Sister Enterprise, and please visit us at www.educateetiquette.com. Whoever believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. This wasn't lip service. Jesus was talking to you. Every Soul Sister Friday at 10 a.m., learn how to claim your God-given dominion to follow the Master's example and restore health, demonstrate supply, harmonize relationships, and have victory over sin with Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson, spiritual solutions to life's challenges.
Welcome to 4 International Soul Sister Radio. I am your producer, Maria DiGiovanni, welcoming you to the Soul Sister Experience. First, a special thank you to our station sponsor, ImageMakeoverProgram.com, who make it possible to record live and broadcast worldwide. We invite you to get ready to enjoy the show. Take it away, my Soul Sister.
Hello and happy Friday. Good morning. Thank you for being with me today. Welcome to Healing Through Prayer. I've had a few people call me during the last month or reach out to me on Facebook with complaints of being in physical pain and asking for some prayerful support. So I've decided to dedicate this show to all of those who have experienced or perhaps are currently experiencing pain in any shape or form. And, you know, I was thinking about the healings that Jesus had performed in the Bible. And something that I had noticed is that it says that before Jesus healed anybody, that he first had compassion. In the book of Matthew, we read where two blind men had called out after Jesus that he should heal them. And it says, "So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." In the book of Mark, before Jesus fed the multitudes, we read, "I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." And in Luke, we read that a widow's only son had died, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not," and he raised her son from the dead. And again in Matthew, we read, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick." There are others, but I won't go through them all, but I was just impressed by how many times the word compassion is used, and it always came right before he healed. And I looked up the word compassion, and it's defined as a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Jesus had great compassion on those that sought him out and asked him for healing and comfort. So the first thing we must realize is that the Son of God had great sympathy for those who suffered and spent his short ministry and service to others to deliver them from their suffering. And even after Jesus ascended, he had told his disciples, this is at John 14, before he ascended, he said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So Jesus prayed to the Father that we have a comforter in his absence, and he referred to this comforter as the Spirit of Truth that resides in you. It's this Spirit of Truth dwelling in you that comforts, heals, and guides us. And this comforter is proof of God's great love for you and me. So it's important to start off just knowing how much God loves you. I mean, he sent Jesus to convey that love to us. And God continues to show us this great love through the Comforter in each one of us. God's love, this Spirit of Truth that leads us into newness of life, makes us a new creation. It's always present. It's always with you. It's in you, for you, operating through you and on your behalf. It's with you right now. It's inseparable from who you are. You can't escape it, be away from it. You can't be mesmerized into believing that it's not a part of you. It is a truth about who you are, the child of God, and you possess all that God is. So the key here is that the Comforter heals us with this, quote, Spirit of Truth, as Jesus described it. He told us that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. This includes freedom from pain, free from all types of pain, whether it's physical or emotional that you might be experiencing. It's the truth that frees us from it. Well, what truth is that, you ask? It's the truth of who you really are, what you are really made of, what your true substance is, and what that means. I've often heard people say or question whether God punishes those who sin by sending sickness and pain. There are religions that actually teach this, and I'm here to tell you that this is false. I know that every single healing of any kind of condition, whatever the name we give it, is always eradicated and healed by starting with the allness of God as love. And we're not talking about a human kind of love, one that prefers one over another or plays favorites or grows tired of some but blesses others. God is perfect love. This kind of love is impartial and universal. It's the greatest power that exists, and it loves all of its creation the same. Another term for God is mind, with a capital M. This mind created all, and this creation consists of mind and its infinite ideas. Because God is also spirit, the true substance of all of its ideas are spiritual, not made up of matter, blood and bones, brick and mortar, concrete and rebar. God does not cause his children to be sick or to sin. He created us in his image and likeness, and only knows what is true about us, how he created us, perfect, upright, complete, holy, and joyful. So you can assure yourself that God is not the author of sickness or sin. He sent his Son to show us the way, to lead us into truth, to save us from beliefs of sin, sickness, and death. So if you're experiencing pain, God is not the cause of it. He did not send it to you. You are not being punished. What he did was to provide us the remedy, to bring us the truth that heals and delivers us. So what is the truth that sets us free from pain, and how do we apply it? Well, we start by acknowledging that our bodies are one and the same as mortal mind. And when I say mortal mind, I'm talking about mind with a small m, the thing that's doing all those thoughts all day long, mind chatter, the ego. What we hold as true in our thoughts is manifested in our physical body, and a change in our beliefs leads to a change in our body. They are literally one and the same. the more we align our thoughts with the spirit of truth, the more we manifest our real identity or God's creation. So right now, our thoughts mirror what we've been told by others, and they start out with an opposing theory of creation, where we're the effect of two mortals coming together, mom and dad, that we are born into a physical body, that weather, heredity, accidents, germs, viruses, and other negative influences cause sickness and disease, and that we treat these real conditions with medicine or other material methods. We believe pain is a necessary byproduct of sickness and disease and is somehow beyond our control. Well, I want you to erase those concepts and beliefs and begin again. I want you to know that God is the only creator, and He doesn't share His creative power with another. I want you to know that God governs His creation perfectly. He governs man, the real man made in His image and likeness, and He lovingly cares for and He directs us, His ideas. All of us are obedient to the mind that created us. You and I are His children. We are governed by God. We reflect His goodness, His perfection, His harmony. And as the scriptures declare, we do live and move and have our being in Him. Because He is spirit, we must also be spiritual. We're not limited physical beings, but unlimited and free. Do you see how opposite these two positions are? But there can only be one truth. And if one is true, the other must be untrue. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, "Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Paul understood that to be present with the Lord is to completely turn away from the body. Mrs. Eddy delves into this further in Science and Health and wrote, "If we pray to God as a corporeal person," meaning a physical person, "this will prevent us from relinquishing the human doubts and fears which attend such a belief. And so we cannot grasp the wonders wrought by infinite, incorporeal love to whom all things are possible. Because of human ignorance of the divine principle love, the Father of all is represented as a corporeal creator. Hence men recognize themselves as merely physical, and are ignorant of man as God's image or reflection, and of man's eternal, incorporeal existence. The world of error is ignorant of the world of truth, blind to the reality of man's existence, for the world of sensation is not cognizant of life in soul." If we are sensibly with the body and regard omnipotence as corporeal, material person, whose ear we would gain, we are not absent from the body and present with the Lord in the demonstration of spirit. We cannot serve two masters. To be present with the Lord is to have not mere emotional ecstasy or faith, but the actual demonstration and understanding of life as revealed in Christian Science. To be with the Lord is to be in obedience to the law of God, to be absolutely governed by divine love, by spirit, not by matter. So if we're believing God to be man-like, we are focused on the body. It is where our faith and our attention are, and we are present with it. Being absent from the body and present with the Lord means to look away from the body and to be under the authority of spirit and divine love. It's like a continuum or a sliding scale. On one end of the scale is maybe no understanding of God or faith in a higher power and complete reliance on what the world tells us about who we are and the limitations that we live in. And then at the far other end of the scale is the complete opposite, the truth and the understanding of man's perfection as the Son of God, the example and demonstration that Jesus showed to us. Your thoughts are somewhere in between on this sliding scale. The more your thoughts are based upon the truth, the more Christ-like your life will be and more demonstrations you will experience. The more fear-based and limited or reliant on matter your beliefs are, the more you will experience sin and sickness, lack and discord. Get it? So, seeing God as the scriptures declare him to be, as spirit, as love, as the only creator, that is the understanding or the spirit of truth that Jesus referred to. It calls our attention away from the body. It is asking us to have faith in what the physical senses cannot grasp or understand. And it's moving thought toward the spirit of truth that heals you. So as we turn our thoughts away from the body and accept that who and what we are the spiritual offspring of divine love, we will experience a corresponding shift in our lives. Science and Health describes it this way. Become conscious for a single moment that life and intelligence are purely spiritual, neither in nor of matter, and the body will then utter no complaints. If suffering from a belief in sickness, you will find yourself suddenly well. Sorrow is turned into joy when the body is controlled by spiritual life, truth, and love. So the battle against sickness and disease and pain is fought at the level of your beliefs. You must change your belief from false concepts to the, quote, spirit of truth. You must learn and state the truth of your being and then persist in it. As soon as you begin uttering the truth and considering its effects in you, you can be sure the serpent will be right there telling you any of the following. You don't really believe this. If this is true, then why are you still feeling pain? You don't know enough to heal yourself. This is for others, but not for you. I promise you that you will get one of those messages, and when it comes, you can laugh at it because it's so obvious. The reason the message comes is that the very lifeline of the error or sickness or pain is your belief in its reality. In the moment you see it for its nothingness, it ceases to exist. While you fight to change your beliefs, it fights equally hard to keep you discouraged, doubtful, or even tired. It needs you to believe in it for its survival. But the moment you see through its lies, you stop believing in it, and it ceases to exist in your thought and therefore in your body. The answer is in disciplining your thought. Hold thought steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true, and you will bring these into your experience proportionately to the occupancy of your thoughts. That's truth. Persist in claiming your God-given inheritance of freedom from all limitation or bondage. Claim the God-given dominion given to you to trample on the serpent, your dominion over all the earth. Hold to it. Recognize that if something that claims to exist is not of God, it has no power other than what you give to it. Whatever it claims to be, it can be overcome and destroyed by disbelief in it. One of my favorite quotes from Science and Health is this. When the illusion of sickness or sin tempts you, cling steadfastly to God and His idea. Allow nothing but His likeness to abide in your thought. Let neither fear nor doubt overshadow your clear sense and calm trust that the recognition of life harmonious, as life eternally is, can destroy any painful sense of or belief in that which life is not. In other words, Don't allow fear or doubt in. Don't let them come in and suggest to you the presence or power of anything unlike God. Maintain a clear understanding and calm trust that God is your very life, and that this life is all harmonious, and that the power of this truth can destroy any painful sense of or belief in something that life isn't. Notice that phrase, painful sense of. For those who are experiencing pain, it stems from a painful sense of life, not from any physical issue. Remember, your thoughts and your body are one. Your thoughts actually construct your body and your experience. And understanding that your real life is from God and that this life is all there really is to who you are, and that because God is your creator, that this life is always harmonious, joyful, productive, protected, progressive, infinite, full of love. This understanding removes properly any painful sense of life. It erases any false history of your life, because you have been, you are now, and always will be at one with God. That is the spirit of truth Jesus was talking about that will set you free. You have always been free. You've only accepted false and limiting beliefs about yourself unwittingly that have worked to mesmerize you into accepting a lesser life, a life with limitations, weakness, and sin. You've been walking around in the dark. We all have. But Jesus demonstrated the light of truth. He showed us the way, the understanding of our present perfection. He saw this perfection in those he healed. The false beliefs were lifted immediately, and those that sought him were made whole. Let me give you a quick illustration. Recently, I had hugged my dog, and the next day, I had a patch of poison oak on my neck. And for any of you who've suffered from poison oak, it's a drag. And I was scheduled to go to a Joyce Meyer event, and my neck was really starting to itch. And I was sitting there trying to listen to Joyce, and I began to have these thoughts. Oh no, this is going to be awful. Poison oak only gets worse. It'll start to ooze. It'll spread. The itching's unbearable. And here I am at this conference, and I'm not going to be able to enjoy it. Okay, so that's mortal mind's take on poison oak, right? That's what we learn. That's what we humanly experience. That's what they sell us. So humanly speaking, that's the process that we've got to go through before we find relief from poison oak. It usually sticks around for about a week before all the evidence of it appears. So I caught myself thinking these thoughts, and I'm like, whoa, what am I doing? What sort of thoughts am I entertaining? And I immediately reversed this thinking process. I mentally declared that I am not material, but spiritual. I am not in a physical body, but am the spiritual offspring of God. And I distinctly recalled that God gave me authority over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And I considered this authority, that the creeping things are both the belief in a poisonous plant and the belief in a talking serpent that can hypnotize me into believing falsely. And I embraced this authority mentally. I took it in, and I saw how logical it was. I reflect God, and God is divine mind. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. There's no power that can oppose God. I know that God didn't create a plant that could infect or cause pain or inflammation to his children. And if God gave me dominion, then I have it, and I know it. And I just accepted it, and I embraced it. And in that moment, from that moment on, just in that brief moment, I never itched again. I took a shower that evening, and I never felt a thing. The patch on my neck was dried up, and in 2 days had completely disappeared. All that had changed was a new understanding in my belief based on the truth and what I know about my relationship to God. And the healing was instantaneous. So do you see the sliding scale of thought that was present? On one end was the fearful outlining of poison oak, how it supposedly operates and manifests itself. On the other end was the understanding that matter is not intelligent, only God is. And God gave his children authority over creeping things, subtle beliefs, serpent talk. And I took hold of that authority and through right reasoning saw the logic in it and accepted it. This change in thought brought about immediate healing of the condition. So changed belief turned into changed experience, or human consciousness equals human experience. Through many years of healings, those who have assisted others in healing have come to learn that pain and inflammation is fear. They are one and the same. And they've learned this because once the fear was removed from the patient's thought, the condition or complaint was healed. So if pain is fear, then love is the remedy to pain. Perfect love casts out fear. And the love of God is the only way to remove fear. Human love is insufficient. God's love is perfect. Understanding his great love for us, that we live in this love, and that it is who we are, that this love enfolds us and it surrounds us, carries us, holds us, nurtures and comforts us, and that this love is ever present, unfailing and infinite, removes any fearful sense of life. Holding to these truths will remove fear. How can we fear when love is present? Love and fear are the same as light and darkness. The darkness flees before the light. They cannot exist in the same place. It's impossible. Mind, with a capital M, God, is the master of the corporeal senses and can conquer sin, sickness, and death. Exercise this God-given authority. Take possession of your body and govern its feeling and action. Rise in the strength of spirit to resist all that is unlike good. God has made man capable of this, and nothing can erase the ability and power divinely bestowed on man. And that's a quote from Science and Health. I want to encourage anyone who's experiencing pain in any form. You're not alone. And you are not powerless. You have the Comforter or the Spirit of Truth living inside of you to show you the way out of the bondage that you feel. God loves you. And this love is more than sufficient to remove fear and doubt from your thought. Accept the allness of God and His goodness. Ask him to show you who you truly are. The Comforter in you will lead your thought back to the truth, and this truth shall set you free. You are indeed able and well equipped to remove the false beliefs and replace them with the truth of your being. Hold fast to the truth. Stay focused on God's love for you. Really focus on the blessings and the goodness that are already present. And you will win and have your victory over sin, disease, and pain. Don't lose heart, listeners. The truth is there. The truth is unfolding and disclosing itself to you. Draw near to God. The Comforter will reveal the answer to you in the way that you most need to hear it, in a way that will make sense to you, and you will have your revelation, and the light will turn on, and it'll flood your consciousness, and it will remove whatever is offending you. I'm excited. I'm excited for the power of the truth and how it's going to remove the false beliefs in your life. I'm excited about future testimonies because I have faith in God and I have faith in the truth and I have faith in this great love for us. Well, until next Friday, everybody, have a beautiful week, and we will talk to you soon. Bye now. I want to take a moment to just give a special thank you to our show sponsors, ImageCoach.com, Soul Sista Enterprise, the Law Office of Corrine R. Walson, and to our station sponsors, Heart4.com and 4 International, where we elevate and empower those who are overcoming adversity.
Soul Sista Radio.